The book of Luke, if you happen to close your Bibles there, just a few chapters before what Mike was looking at, I'd like to read a couple verses out of Luke 18, beginning at verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. And we're going to begin in verse 9 because it has some very important words here. It says, "And he," speaking of our Lord Jesus, "spake this parable," this picture, this type, this figure. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Free willism. I'm the one who made the decision. God came to save sinners in the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous didn't need a Savior. Verse 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." Notice that. He prayed with himself. God did not accept his prayer. Not like we just heard in the devotional. God hears every prayer his son prayed. Absolutely. That, I wish we were recording that devotional. That was very good, Mike. So he prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then our Lord says in verse 14, "I tell you, this man," speaking of the publican, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." A type, a picture. Now turn over to Ruth chapter 2, and let's go back to verse 10. I may have addressed this just a little bit last Sunday, but I want to look at it a little deeper. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, we read, "Then she," speaking of Ruth, "fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," unto Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" How often do we read, when in the presence of the Lord, those who know that they are in His presence are abased, and how undeserving they are, and how our rightful reward before a holy God is. Deserving His wrath, deserving His justice, His condemnation. Moses, when Moses stood before the fiery bush, he was on the ground, facing the ground, because he knew that he was unworthy of the one who stood before him, the one who was in that bush, our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he stood before his Creator. And there's only one place that we as human beings can be before our Creator. That is on our face. Undeserving, as you said, Mike. "Yet may it be that he may have mercy upon some? Will he who has every right to serve justice to a rebellious people be merciful to some?" The answer is yes. Absolutely. For Christ's sake. Who made these two men to differ in the temple? Why did one speak with pride and self-righteousness and the other cry humbly as a sinner for mercy? Our Lord is the one who makes us to differ.
Amen.
He makes some vessels of honor and some fitted to destruction. That's what His Word says. In the end, all will know the truth of who Christ Jesus is, and every knee will bow to His Lordship. And every deed of darkness will be exposed and reproved by the light of His presence.
That's true.
Allow me to quote from Robert Hawker on this verse 10 of chapter 2. Mr. Hawker writes, "How surprising are the first manifestations of the Lord Jesus to the heart of a sinner. While the poor creature under the convictions of sin is approaching with a mixture of great fear and little hope, to hear Jesus speaking in the ministry of His word and by the sweet constraining tokens of His grace, to discover that his case is known and that the Lord hath mercy in store for him. And still more than that, if possible, in the distinguishing grace which the soul feels as shown to a poor, gentle stranger. Oh, how low will the soul lie in the dust of the earth, under the deepest self-abasement, crying out, 'How is it? How is it, O Lord, that Thou hast manifest Thyself unto me and not unto the world?'" End of quote. In Luke chapter 10, you don't need to turn there, allow me to quote from verse 21, "that in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight.'" Our Lord does not reveal his truths to all. But when he does reveal these things to his remnant, to his elect, to all of those for whom he came to this world to save, for all for whom the Father gave him, they will know this. They will know, as it says in John chapter 10, verse 23, "And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, 'How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.'" How more plain can you be than to raise a man from the dead who's been dead for 4 days? How more plain can you be than to feed 5,000 people with a couple of little loaves of bread and some fish? And Jesus answered them. He says, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." No one else was raising the dead like that. No one else was feeding the people like that. No one else was healing the sick and the lame and the deaf and the dumb. No one else was able to do that. He proved it by his works. "But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It is well with my soul." Why? "Because I deserve so much worse. Yet He has loved me with an everlasting love. I cannot be taken from my Savior's hand." Oh, what a wonder of hearing His word, the word of grace. Is that not why we are all here this morning?
Yes, sir.
We're looking for grace. That's what Ruth was doing in the field of barley. She was looking for grace. And she found grace in the eyes of Boaz. Oh, the grace that we will find in the eyes of our Lord when we seek Him. Allow me to quote from Don Fortner's book, Finding Christ in Ruth, where he's talking about chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. He says, Ruth is set before us as a picture, a type, a figure of a sinner seeking the Lord. This is the promise of God to sinners. Seek and ye shall find.
Yes,
I know that no one will ever seek the Lord who is not first sought out by the Lord. Our seeking Him is proof that we are sought of Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yet it is everyone's responsibility to seek Him. As Ruth sought barley in the fields of Boaz, so needy sinners seek the bread of life in the book of God, in the house of God. End of quote. Now read along with me in verses 11 and 12, if you would. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. We sang the song, It is well with my soul. No matter what, through peace, through trials, it is well with our soul because God Almighty has taken care of everything for us. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. Oh, the peace that we receive when our Lord and Savior tells us He knows our griefs. He knows our pain. He knows all about the trials that we are going through. And He knows the drawing power of temptation. He knows our hearts, our every desire. And like you said, Mike, even though we would be willing to stand there and say, crucify Him, He has loved us anyway. Oh, the love that God has for His people. I do not ever tire of telling you this for this very reason, because I do not ever tire of hearing it. I need to hear that all the time. I forget in a moment's notice my Lord's love for me. Allow me to quote again from Robert Hawker. He says, Might I be permitted to paraphrase those gracious expressions with an eye to the rich mercies of Jesus? I humbly conceive that the language of our dearest Lord to a poor sinner seeking His face might be supposed to the breath to breathe a tenderness like this. It hath fully been showed me, he says, all the state and circumstances of those awakenings by my grace in thy soul. I have long known and viewed the struggles that you have encountered. He's known it before we even walked this earth, folks. He knew exactly about your situation with the dry socket, Mike. He knew you were going to go through that long before you were ever even born. Not only did He know it, He purposed it. We never know why. And some of us have to go through some pretty terrible trials. But our Lord has purposed everything for our good. The death that you have experienced in your first husband, speaking of Ruth again, to whom you were wedded in a covenant of works. Remember, he went off to Moab. She didn't know the Lord then. It was all of works. and the workings of grace in prompting you to leave and forget your own people and your father's house, to cast yourself wholly on the sovereignty of my salvation, and to come to a people you knew not before to be espoused to Christ. These are things which I am fully acquainted with. A full satisfaction shall be given thee, and thou shalt not be disappointed in thine hope. Everything is ours. Right now.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying you should just go out and take anybody's car. That's not what I'm talking about. But everything is for us. Everything. The chaos we see in this world, not just in our own country, but in the world around us, is all for our good. We can never forget that, folks. We have to be reminded that of all the times. I don't know about you, I go crazy over the stuff I see out there. I can't even watch the news. I got up this morning, turned it off. Turned it on, turned it back off again. I shouldn't even turn it on in the first place. How inexpressibly sweet and precious is it to the mind of every poor seeking sinner when Jesus thus speaks peace and satisfies the desire of the soul. It is well with my soul, would you say? But how strange does it seem to the heart that in a moment, when we fear that our case is overlooked and that neither our person nor our cries attract the divine attention, Jesus gives us to understand that every secret desire, every tear, every sigh of the soul, he hath been a witness to and knows us better than we do ourselves.
Right.
Even now, as we go through this world, all we have to do is to remember how much he loves us. To remember that the troubles we see and experience begin to fall away when we see his love for us. All things, his word says. Do you trust him? Really? I wished I trusted more. Do you believe him? In his word, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Everyone catch that? There's no free will involved there. And if you don't believe me what I'm saying, then let's say what the rest of us say. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. With all the troubles that I see in the world around me, I know that my Savior is ruling over it all.
Amen.
Christ Jesus, my Lord, is on his throne right now, and nothing can separate me from his love. Not even me. Full of grace and truth. Come to truth today. Come to truth right now. The King of all creation sits on his throne working everything out according to his own counsel. And you can read all about it in God's Word. Come to God's Word. Come to Jesus, the fountain of grace.